Soon we will have the reading, but before I have to explain something, Peter introduced already why we have a change of preacher and sermon and topic, not like in the monthly sheet. The Totensonntag in Germany is not only in the Lutheran Church, but also Catholic as well. Since in our series we don't have a Totensonntag, I think it's good once to set our minds on the topic of death, not only for old people, but for young ones as well. Death does not ask if you are young or old. Everyone here knows one day they will also bury me, if Jesus Christ will not return before. Of course, as Christians, we cannot speak about death only. We also have to talk about resurrection. Before we listen to the scripture reading, I should explain briefly how this Totensonntag was introduced in Germany. I think most of you have realized the biggest spectacle for the year in Leipzig is over. The war game of the Völkerschlacht. But 200 years ago, it was not a game. 100,000 soldiers had killed each other in this battle. But that was not the end. 30,000 injured men were still there. Leipzig in those days had a population of only 33,000 people. Compared to the 500 today, Leipzig would need 450,000 additional hospital beds. We cannot imagine that. What a tragedy that was. And 1 year after the battle came to an end, in 1814, the Memorial Day was introduced in Sachsen, and 2 years later, by a decree of the King of Prussia, it was officially declared as a day to remember our people who have passed away. So now, Tony will come and read first the scripture.
This morning's Bible reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us your love letter, the Bible, with the good news for each one of us. Even if we have heard this story many times before, we still struggle to understand everything what happened there. So help us this morning with open hearts to understand, not with our intellect, but also with our heart, and get to know better who you are. Amen. The few ladies who came to the tomb early in that morning had nothing else in mind as we usually want to do after we have buried a loving person. It is not much we can really do for them. Still, with a heavy heart because of the loss of that dear friend or relative, we come to express our last honor to them. These women bought spices for anointing the body. We in our culture bring sometimes flowers, perhaps to compensate with some colors the sad situation and say last farewell. We know that sooner or later each one of us will also be buried. We have no choice, and we have to accept the fact that death will strike one day each one of us. On their way to the tomb, the women remembered that it had been sealed by the Roman guards with a huge stone. So they should have thought about before they set off early that morning. At this time of the day, no workers would be around to assist them. Maybe they could have asked some of the disciples of Jesus to come and give them a hand. But you know, when death strikes, sometimes it puts you down and hinders you to think clearly. Sometimes you are discouraged and don't know what to do next. But when the women arrived, what they experienced was quite different from what they had expected. Something strange had happened. In the year 1969, that was an exciting day when the first man landed on the moon. President Nixon said on that day in a great speech, "This is the most important and greatest event since creation of the world." When Billy Graham heard it, some of you may not know who he is. He was a great evangelist, but also a Christian spiritual advisor for many American presidents. So Billy Graham, he called President Nixon immediately. "Mr. President, if you will excuse me, perhaps you have overlooked or forgotten the resurrection of Christ. This is the historical date and event that puts everything else which ever happened in the world in the shade, or better, moves it into light. Whatever you may think that has happened in world history, the discovery of America, the invention of the atomic bomb, great political revolutions, terrible catastrophes, all your personal problems, tensions with people, or severe sickness, even your own hour of death, in view of the resurrection of Jesus from the death, all of it has now a different value. The resurrection of Jesus brings everything into new light, totally and for all eternity. And we have to say, it is valid for all times, and this is what the women on the Easter morning were confronted with. The power of death is broken. Now, all of you who are already awake and have listened to my words thoughtfully should now oppose and say, "Don't tell us such nonsense." Because our daily experiences tell us exactly the opposite. People are still dying in all areas of the world like all times before. Yes, this is also my experience. But praise God that Jesus has destroyed the power of death is not my idea, not my invention. The Apostle Paul writes to his spiritual son, his student Timothy, "Christ Jesus has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light." This sentence was once during the Second World War, the Easter morning sermon in concentration camp in Buchenwald. There was Pastor Paul Schneider. He often spoke openly and criticized the regime, and therefore he was in the punishment cell in the basement of the building. But that Easter morning, when the 30,000 prisoners had to line up in front of the building, Pastor Schneider shouted this verse through the window to all the people that everybody could hear. Christ Jesus has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light. He couldn't speak more, no long sermon. They knocked him down and silenced him by beating him. But years later, a man visited the widow of Pastor Schneider, and he said, that Easter morning, I had decided to go into the electric fence and finish my life. But when I heard this sentence, this encouraged me to change my life, and here I am today. And the Lord Jesus himself says to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, they were friends of Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives, that is you and me, and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? If this is true, then there is nothing in the world that can frighten us. What grave things can happen to us since Jesus has risen from the dead? But as Christians, even as we had prayed more than 100 times as we did just before this morning, the Apostles' Creed, he descended to the dead, on the third day he rose again, we have to admit, it is also difficult for us to really understand, to comprehend Christ's resurrection and practice the consequences in our life. We are still learners, beginners. We are not heroes of faith. Sometimes it is interesting to listen to people's ideas when they think about death. In their confused heads, they can create the craziest ideas. Some are fans of reincarnation. They dream to return as super beings and rush through space on faraway planets. Just remember what the media told us during the change of millennium, what funny ideas people came up with. Some believe that Muhammad rode on a horse to heaven. Last week I read in the newspaper that a man wants to settle on Mars for the rest of his life. And many other adventurous ideas come up. But honestly, we Christians also are curious and want to know, how will it be when I have died? I'm sure that every one of us has had some thoughts along this line. But it is very interesting, and it should make us think. The Bible barely speaks about the state of the dead, and this, I'm sure, for good reason. Generally, the information we are given in the Bible is for our life here and now. And Martin Luther once said, we should not allow our thoughts to rove or to vagabondize. You know what a vagabond is? He goes always around and around and around. We should not allow our thoughts to rove around those unsolvable questions. Why? Because it does not help in our daily life. But the fact that Jesus has overcome death, this is still difficult for us to believe. This is totally against our thinking, and it contradicts our daily experiences. A dead person overcomes death. A dead man stands up, and dead has no power against him. Tell me, how can you make this clear, understandable to somebody else? We all know that even important people have nothing to say about the secret and the miracle of resurrection. Therefore, I have to put this on top of all I said before. There's only one person who is able to convince us of the resurrection from the dead. It is the living Savior himself. He has to talk to us. He has to remove our blindness. Only he can create faith. There are many religions in the world with all kinds of peculiar and odd ideas and doctrines. But Christianity is not a religion, although it is written in your school certificate as such. What then is Christianity? It is relationship with the risen Lord. If you have no personal relationship with Christ, then you are not a Christian. You might be a church member or a religious person, but this does not make you a Christian. Do you know Christ? Does he talk to you? Do you know him as the living one, even as you don't see him? If you still say it's too difficult, then you are in good company. This is exactly what the New Testament reports confirm to us. The message to the women was very clear. The messenger who stood in the tomb did not only appear, but also spoke understandable words and spread the heavenly good news into the ears of the distressed and terrified women. But for them, death still was reality. And they were told, go and tell. But their reaction shows us clearly that this was too much for them to really comprehend. If we look at our text, we read, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone. They were lost for words because they were afraid. They did not understand what they were told. No, for them it was still Totensonntag on that Easter morning. Sometime later, we don't know how long, Mary Magdalene, one of them, went to tell the disciples that she had met him. Only when she had met him, or he had met her in person, she was able to believe it and pass the message on as she was told. So she went to the disciples of Jesus who locked themselves in because they were afraid that if they had killed the master, then they might kill us as well. So they didn't go out for days. But now when they heard the message that Jesus is alive, they were still mourning and weeping. For them, there was Totensonntag. But now when the message came by Maria Magdalena and she said, he's risen, then they shouted, hallelujah! Really? No, not at all. Mark reports us, they did not believe. And later, in verse 12, others came and told them the same. Again, in verse 13, they did not believe. Still, Totensonntag. In our days we think, how can we help the unbelievers or those who have doubts to help to understand the gospel? Jesus lives. Sometimes I have the impression that some of us think there's a trick or a method to make it clear to others in a way that they would understand and be convinced. It does not work that way. So what then? What is evangelism? It is nothing more than passing on the message to non-Christians and add this to him or to her. With your intellect, with your brain, you cannot understand it. And we have to leave it like that. We are not more than a postman who delivers just a letter. But the content is only a matter between the sender and the receiver. Or how somebody else said, a beggar tells the other where he can get food. That's all. In this short chapter of chapter 16 of Mark's Gospel, we have three typical examples where the message of the risen Lord is given clearly, but the ones who do receive it did not believe, unless the risen Lord confronted them with his presence. One, Mary Magdalene. She heard the message and was bewildered, but when she met him, she believed. And then she went and could do what she was told to do. Two, the two disciples on their way to Emmaus. The story we can read clearly in Gospel of Luke chapter 24. With them it was the same. They were still talking about Jesus crucified and were very sad, even when he was walking with him. They did not realize that he is alive. And three, the rest of the disciples, they got the message even two times and did not believe it until he himself was present among them. There was a man in 1948, 18 years old, and I will read from his biography. It is in German, so I have to translate it. So he attended a Christian meeting where the pastor spoke about the cross of Calvary for 1 hour. And this young man said, by profession, I was a mechanic. I knew my job, and I was not baptized that time. I was standing in the world. And I said, this is crazy. What this pastor expects from us to believe. What is the matter with the cross? That happened 2,000 years ago. But I live today. I've been a rational person, mechanic, and I have plans for my future. And then he says, after the meeting I went and looked for the pastor and asked him, Pastor Busch, please allow me a question. You talked about the cross. I don't understand that. Then he looked at me and said, you cannot understand that. Go home and ask him that he may show you what happened. Then he turned around and left me alone. I found this very impudent, unverschämt. A real question deserves a real answer. But this man, he leaves everything open and sends me home to pray. I don't know what made me pray that night. I went home on my bicycle. I remember very well, 7 kilometers during rain, and all the time this thinking about the secret of Calvary went around in my head. But that night, I asked the Lord for an answer. And the miracle happened that he showed me what happened on Calvary. Therefore, I had to become a preacher, because the secret of Calvary has convinced me. And he was a servant, became a servant of the Lord for the rest of his life. And now I want to close with another story from our days. And I ask Farkad to show the first picture. What do you think this picture is about? Okay, I will tell you. Please, the next picture. This is Paul. Paul grows up in a happy family in Halle, not far from here. They are all kind people, educated, successful. But with God, they have nothing in mind. Today in Halle, only 12% of the population are church members. Paul is an active member of his canoe club in Halle. In 2005, at the World Championship with his team, they got 2 gold medals and 1 silver. In 2007, in France, also World Championship, they returned as the most successful team with 6 titles. After his Abitur, he starts his studies in mechatronics. One of his fellow students talks to him about about Christian faith. Paul listens, but he does not show serious interest. He is successful, supported by his family. What would God need? What would he need God for? In July last year, suddenly he faints. In hospital, they diagnose brain tumor. Operation, chemo, rehabilitation. In November, 4 months later, strong pain in his back, one leg he cannot move. In the emergency unit at the unit clinic in Halle, immediate operation, metastasis all over. In January this year, doctors tell him he may survive about 3 more days. He complains, "I'm still too young to die." The experts on cancer see still a little hope and start a new chemo. Among the caring medical team is Dr. Yvonne. She tells him that her faith in Christ gives her meaning for her life and strength. Paul asks a lot of questions. She answers and asks, "Shall we pray together?" Paul, "How does that go? What must I say?" And she asks, "What do we expect from God?" "I long to be safe. I want to be secure." And then they pray. One day Dr. Yvonne asks, "Do you want to entrust your life to Jesus?" He answers, "Yes, I will." Please, the next picture. On a Sunday, both travel to Petersburg. There's a Protestant monastery near Halle, where Paul attends his first service in his life. Sein erster Gottesdienst seines Lebens. The sermon is about baptism. And as Paul listens, he wants to be baptized. Brother Johannes from Petersburg comes down to Halle. And in the ICU, Intensivstation, among all the cables and machines, he baptizes Paul. And he gives him the word from Isaiah 43, verse 1. "Fear not, I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name, you are mine." For Paul, baptism has become the peak, the summit of his life. And he says, "God helps in most difficult situations, and by faith in Christ, you can die comforted." His mother says, "We thought that we could strengthen him, but now he strengthens us. And she says further, with my husband and Paul's grandparents, I now sit on the balcony and we learn the Lord's Prayer by heart, the prayer Paul loves so much. July 24, this year. He is now at home till he dies. Every day he invites friends to say farewell. They have to read the Bible for him. Maybe the first time they had that book in their hand. And he prays with them and for them. He wants all of them to come to his funeral. Don't come in black, but in colors, because then I will be in heaven and it will be well with me. Please, next picture. Next picture. Yeah. Now I'm a child of God. Now I want to be with my Father in heaven. I celebrate up there, and you celebrate down here. Another doctor comments, I have seen many people die, but such a peaceful death I have never experienced before. Can you explain this change? Yes, death is still a strong power. There is one who is stronger, Jesus Christ. He has broken the chains of death. Therefore, I close with the words of the Apostle Paul, which he wrote to the Christians in Rome. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Heavenly Father, we, with our understanding, with our intellect, we really cannot comprehend it fully. What happened that Easter morning, 2,000 years ago? But you have promised that you will be among us till the end of the earth and beyond. We thank you that you have spoken to our hearts, and we thank you that you still reveal yourself to many who do not know you yet, like you did with Paul. Amen.